Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Official Game Shifts Podcast. This is episode 561. I'm producer Gerald, and today I'm joined by Ryan Walton.
Hello.
And Larry the Rooster. Which y'all hear him soon.
I was going to give him a pause and see if he wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah.
He went off before we started recording, and it sounded as if he was in my lap.
Yeah.
He must have been right outside the door. There he is.
Mm-hmm.
You get that one?
Yeah, we got that one.
Yeah, so welcome, Larry. That's what you're calling him.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling him. Until we have an official name.
Yeah. So, he's here. I'm probably going to be a mainstay from here on out.
Mm-hmm. And so we are live. You're live in Games of Studios right now.
Yeah. The HQ.
Mm-hmm. And I'm across the glass.
You know, when you get a rooster or a chicken, you don't think about the things that'll mess up. And I understand most people don't do a podcast, but it's not even that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be on a work call, and he'll be quiet. And the second I get on a work call, because I like to pace around when I'm on the phone, I'll come to the backyard just to pace, and he'll start screaming. And I know to a customer, it's odd if I'm on the phone and there's just a rooster going nonstop in the background.
Right.
So I think what happens is he hears me in here and then he does that.
Mm-hmm. To let you know, hey, I'm here. Yeah.
And we're not like buds or anything, but I don't have a poor relationship with him. But he always wants like a snack. And I think that's what it is. Little snacky snack. But yeah, you don't think about it. Like, the chickens get on my deck. And so I have to pressure wash it way more often than normal because they poop on the deck.
Yeah.
The poop deck. And you don't want that. You don't want to come rolling out and step in chicken poop.
Mm-hmm.
Or it to stain the deck. So that's a thing I never thought about having to deal with. And they're just noisy in general. Like, even when the hens lay eggs, they're noisy. Yeah. It's just a whole ass situation. And I'm not in the city, so I don't want anybody thinking I'm that asshole, but I just need more land in order for you not to hear what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have them. I mean, I have 3/4 of an acre and they're pretty much free on all everything but what the house and the front yard is on.
Yeah.
And I have a small front yard, so they have a bunch of, I mean, they're probably on a half acre of land that they roam about, but I'd like to get them a little further away.
Mm-hmm. No, you're still not missing any. None have disappeared.
I mean, some have, but not any recently. I think a hawk has scooped a couple up.
Yeah, I was about to bat. Wasn't it a hawk that you had an issue with?
Possum got one, and I think a hawk got two.
Mm.
So I've lost 3 chickens, and I've had some combination of the chickens I have now for maybe like 5 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've had a good run with them. My old ones don't even lay eggs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've had them for so long. So, I hear people talk about losing chickens all the time. So, I mean, I feel pretty lucky to have had them this long, but it sucks whenever you lose one.
Yeah. One of the guys that works in the department I work at, he's a maintenance guy. He had like 40 some chickens and he was trying to get rid of them. And then sure enough, like he said, 1 week he lost like 10.
That sucks.
He was like just gone. And then so he just actually just got rid of all of them. He's going to have to take a medical leave for a little while. So he's like, I just can't keep up with chickens. He's going to be bedridden.
That sucks.
He can't go out there and do anything. And it's him and his girlfriend. His girlfriend don't go outside and mess with chickens. So he's like, well, I got to get rid of all my chickens then.
Now I'm a daily, mine aren't a lot of work, but there's just some unintended consequences. I had, for the first time in my whole life, someone knocked on my door the other day holding a chicken.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, well, this probably isn't ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the door and she goes, I have your chicken. And I was like, I don't think so because you're holding it. And I don't have pets. I have chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I work across the street and I hear your chicken go off all the time, your rooster. And so I assumed it's yours. And I was like, I have brown chickens, but I'm quite confident that's not my chicken.
Yeah.
So I walk around to the backyard. I look, both my brown ones are there. I'm like, that's not my chicken. She's like, well, it's over there in our back lot and it's going to get hurt. And one guy's been keeping it in the office and he said he's going to take it home with him, but he lives in a condo, which is a weird move anyways. Also, don't get a chicken inside.
Right.
Chickens are messy and dumb and they go to the bathroom a lot. So you don't, that's not good for them or you, but anyways, she said, can I leave the chicken there? She said, it's someone's pet because it likes to be held and I'll post on Facebook, but can I leave it here in the meantime? That was on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That chicken's still here. I don't think anybody's coming back for that chicken.
Oh no. The person, whoever the chicken, the ownership of the chicken in that back area is probably like, oh, hawk got, probably got it.
What I think happened is I don't know that there's any chickens around where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if someone didn't dump it because they got it as a chick and it was adorable because it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved on it like they would a puppy. And then someone in their life said, you can't have a damn chicken in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they just dumped it somewhere.
Yeah.
It loves people.
So when you come outside, it runs up to you?
All mine run up to you because they want a treat, but like...
Yeah.
It'll run up to you and to your feet, and you just reach down and pick it up. My other ones won't let you pick them up unless they're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could chase them, but ain't nobody trying to do that.
Right.
So, I don't know. Anyways, I added one to the flock this week is really that's what I was telling you.
How the other chickens handle them, okay?
No, I mean, it's still a process. There's a, like, pecking order is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so... They have to establish where she goes in the line because she's little. I'm sure she's going to go at the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it incorporating into the new flock is a little rough.
Yeah.
But they'll get it figured out. She's doing okay, though.
That's good.
Yeah, plus one chicken acquired.
Lost three, gained one.
Yeah. And, I don't know. If I lost all my chickens today, I would take a break from having them.
Yeah.
I like them. I plan on having chickens probably on and off the rest of my life, but I would take a break from them. There's some improvements that need to be made to their area back there and some things I need to sort out, and it's hard to do with them there.
Mm-hmm. You're still getting eggs though, right?
Yeah, getting them eggs. If that's your thing, I mean, it's unlimited supply of eggs. Now, I hear people say free eggs. Not true. My eggs cost more than everyone else's eggs. By the time I built my coop and the way I maintain my chickens and I give them scratch and I give them mealworms and I give them food and, you know, I have automatic doors and solar openers. Like, my chickens, I lay expensive eggs, let me just tell you.
Right. Now, there's a guy near me who has chickens, like, on the back. On the way to work, he always has signs out there like selling his eggs.
Yeah. I just give mine away. I don't want to be an egg dealer. I don't want to be in the business of eggs.
Mm-hmm. Because you have people knocking on your door.
Yeah, just the whole thing in general. I just would rather give them away, I think. Because, I mean, look, if I needed to eat, like if financially I needed the money, I would 100% sell them if I had that as a resource. But luckily I'm in a spot where I don't need to. And I know enough people who... consistently, you know, need the eggs. They bring me the cartons back. You know, some of them even, you know, will every now and then get me something just because they get so many eggs from me. They'll buy a gift card or something like that. I just prefer that. And there's no expectations.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And I usually have 3 to 4 dozen sitting at the house anyways at any given moment. And sometimes during the summer when all of them were laying, it would get wacky. I mean, I'd have, you know, damn near 200 eggs in there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's they're fun. I mean, it's a little bit of like that, like primal, like living off the land thing going on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like, I did a garden once. It didn't go well, but I got the same feeling from that. Like that I'm providing for myself kind of deal.
Right.
I think there's something to that. I think it's that feels good. Like it sparks something inside of me to know like I'm self-sufficient. At least partially.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing when I make something. Like, you ever just take something, like truly make something, not like a kit, but make something, that feeling that I get at the end is it's kind of the same I get like with knowing I maintain like chickens and I can have eggs anytime I want them. Like if some zombie shit happened, I have eggs.
Right.
Of course, the zombies will get the chickens because that one's loud. So Larry will just bring them straight over. But until that point, you know. So I like that feeling. Does it do anything for you to like to accomplish something, to build something?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like making fire, I assume. I've never done that, but it'd be like, you know, getting a fire going, probably give you that same spark of like I could survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything that I do that is out of the norm.
Yeah.
It is like self-satisfaction.
If you were just to like build a piece of furniture, you're just automatically a little bit more proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like when I changed the electrical outlets in my house on my own, I was like, man, I'm doing this. It's pretty cool.
Just hands on the hips, rock hard, staring at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trying not to get shocked.
Yeah.
Even though the power's off, but it's like, you'd never know because it's an old house.
So I bought the house that I live in. I bought it for my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that's been listening for a long time knows that I have a lot of junk. I have a lot of stuff. But when I moved in, my parents also left stuff here. And one of the things they left here was an old aquarium stand that probably came from like Walmart. You've seen them. They're like the black metal. They have like a open bottom and they have an open top. And there's a board that just kind of sits in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the aquarium sits on top. It's made for like a 10-gallon aquarium. You type in 10-gallon aquarium stand, I doubt they've changed much. Metal. You can't look at the fancy ones, but
right.
Anyways, so as a kid growing up, we lived in a different house, and they're basically like that. If you go down a row, it's kind of like that basic bitch one, but it's from probably like I'm gonna say it's probably from the 80s. Anyways, so they had left it outside here. Now, we had it at our other house, and we had an aquarium on it. My turtles used to be in an aquarium on that very stand. And when they moved, it's one of the things that they just ditched here. They just left it for me to toss out.
Yeah.
And it was all rusted. It started life as a black stand. It was all rusted. It was laying out there forever. And just at some point, I decided I was going to bring that back to life. I think it was after my mom died. I was like, I'm going to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never worked with metal, really. I've never made anything out of wood, really. I got that thing. I sanded it all the way back down to bare metal. I primed it. I painted it back white. And then I bought a nice piece of wood for the top. And I routed the edges. I routed the inlay so that it would drop down in there. And that was like the first thing I'd ever made. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, I don't have a purpose for that thing. It just sits in the shed here. But I was so proud of that thing. I would have slept on it the first night if I could have. But that was like one of the very first things I like truly. It kind of did something for me to see something that should have gone in the trash be brought back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any stories like that, but I'm gonna look for a picture that I can send you. I'll have to scroll forever, but I'm gonna look and see if I can find one while you're chatting.
Okay. Yeah. So nothing I would say really like that where I've picked something old up. I know one of the police officers that I used to work with, she quit to basically do that for a living.
She's like flipping furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
She's just repurposing it for you. You can just pay her to do it. She'll sand everything down, primer it, put new door handles on it. If you have like a dresser or something, if it's old, she's making money. She says she's making good money off it, but she's no longer doing the police work, which that's what she wants. She's had some scares, I guess, and some things that bothered her. I'm not going to get too much of what she dealt with, but.
Now, I've built lots since then. Mm-hmm. But that was really like the first. And I still get that same like feeling kind of at the end of any project. I still get that same feeling of like accomplishment.
Well, my dad gave me this old workbench that I started sanding down.
Yeah.
and I'm gonna like repurpose that because it's like it's beat up.
So, friend of the show Marshall 205 gave me an old stand, like an old workbench that was something that him and his dad had, and I plan to bring that back to life also. Because he was just gonna throw it away because he's not sentimental. But it's gonna make a really cool table when I'm finished. Did you get that picture?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's good.
Okay, so that had no top on it and was just completely coated in surface rust. It was all rust.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I stained that wood. I polyed that wood. I actually think I just polyed it, but you know, it's got a nice clear coat on it. It looks a little bent in that picture, but the wood is straight. It's like the angle I took it at, I guess. Looks like it's kind of got a wave. But anyways, it's really simple. I just sanded it down, sprayed it, and put that in there. But it actually sits down in there. The opening, I routed out the edges so it drops down and can't come out. You can just lift it up if you want it off, but it's made on there. But it's just like a nice little plant stand now.
Mm-hmm.
When that thing was destined to go to the trash.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that. I'd like to, if you guys have anything like that, send us some pictures. I'd like to see a thing.
Yeah.
All his workbenches like that.
Yeah, it's old.
Is it something he made or is it something he just had?
It's something he got from one of my uncles or one of his brothers.
I wonder if at some point one of them built it.
I don't know, maybe. But it's, I'll send you a picture of it, but it's old, old.
It's now, like, what are your plans?
For that?
Yeah.
Oh, just to repurpose it into make it back into a workbench. So sand it down, paint it, and then use it as a small workbench.
So, you know, I'm torn on some things. If I could not, so like the table I got from him, it's in need of love. Like the top was no good. It had MDF on it. It was no good anymore. The bottom shelf is rotted out. The metal's a little rusty. You know, if something can be saved like it is, I prefer not to do anything to it. It's just not the case for this table, and it was not the case for that aquarium stand. But I do try to hold on to, I like all the dents and dings, and I like a little bit of rust. But if it's not in good enough shape to survive the way it is, I feel like, you know, it's okay to make that, you know, to do what you have to do. I'm going to take.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that, you know, that one and strip it down. I'm going to get all the metal bent back right. I'm going to spray it back white. I'm going to put a butcher block top on it. I'm going to make a nice little skinny table out of it. But it just didn't feel like it was savable at the point it was at. And he has some history with it, and it's weird to me that he didn't care about it.
Yeah.
But we're wired differently. Like, he's not sentimental about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be sentimental for him. I'm going to fix it and have it.
Yeah, I'm sentimental on something. I have, like, these things that, you know, I was talking about the one episode where some of the Hess trucks.
Yes.
And then the radio train I have. Like, so my grandma gave me those. Well, my grandma passed away years ago, which she gave me those. So I really don't want to get rid of those because that's something I got. If I look at it, I know that where I got those from.
Yeah, I was probably trying to stop just short of saying, like, the reason I probably redid that table was to kind of process my mom, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was probably my way of, like, working through that and preserving something that I know was hers. I don't know, in like a weird way. I mean, there's things of hers that I have that I've got rid of that it doesn't do anything for me, but that was like a tied to my childhood plus tied to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably something I'll just move around forever. I don't have a place for it, but it makes a nice plant stand or whatever.
Yeah. My sister-in-law, my wife's little sister, they have different dads. So her dad had a child with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally met her brother, just a couple years ago. And he wore this. Well, he passed away, like, not even a couple months after she met him. Well, she remembered him wearing a sweatshirt. And when she met with his family, she asked if she can have that sweatshirt because that's the only memory she had of that. And
yeah.
So they gave her the sweatshirt. Because that's what, like, he wore when they met.
There's something to that kind of stuff for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in fairness to Marshall 205, it's not as if this was like a family heirloom.
Right.
I believe he found it on the side of the road, called his dad. They picked it up, they brought it back, and they used it as a workbench. Like, I don't think it was like, it's not a thing that's passed down for generations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for me, like, knowing that story and you know, I would just hold on to that. That's just me. That's just, right. That's how I am. That's why I have so much junk, because it's not just like family stuff, but I have memories tied to like all of my things for the most mm-hmm. part. And that I hold on to them because I'm like, oh, I remember going there with a buddy and picking that up. Or yeah. I remember finding this at a flea market. And then my dumb ass just keeps it forever because my memory is so shit that I need the item to spark the memory.
Mm-hmm.
Because my memory is terrible. But when I see the thing, the memory comes like rushing back.
Right. Oh, yeah. Your memory is definitely terrible when it comes to playing games on remember where stuff is at.
Dude, it's terrible all the time. It's just like that in real life.
Minecraft, you get lost all the time.
No sense of direction, no memory of anything. Everything looks brand new all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad, but I will say, as I've gotten a little older, I've started to understand, like, I can't hold on to everything.
Yeah.
And I've kind of gotten consumed by the amount of junk that I have. And I say junk, I mean, I love it. I don't think that's a derogatory term, but
mm-hmm.
it's stuff that I don't need. You know, you need very little to live, I feel like.
Yeah. So, like, right now, I'm trying to get rid of my dad's stuff. I don't know if you can see behind me, but...
Yeah.
Like, that right there is a bunch of his little collectible stuff he just wants me to get rid of.
I will say, I've known you for a long time, and you're for sure the most cluttered now that you've ever been.
Oh, yeah. We're just trying to get stuff together.
You just have stuff. You have a lot of stuff now, yeah. And I think you've outgrown your situation.
Oh, yeah, that's what I keep on telling the wife we need to move.
Yeah, you've for sure outgrown your situation because really when you have to start rotating stuff in and out, you've probably outgrown your situation.
Well, this is not even rotation, just like the couple of the figures up yeah. there, but all this is stuff that I need to get totes for. And
but you used to keep it so nice, and now it's just stacked on the shelf.
Yeah, because I have to organize it, then I'm selling stuff, so I have like the one shelf that's kind of like right here, this one, that's all yeah. like stuff I'm selling.
Yeah, and see, I feel you on that because I started also very organized. I have a spare bedroom, and I put bookcases all the way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was great. Well, then it just became a place to shove shit.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a flat surface or if there was a half inch, I could slide something else in to forget about it. I did.
I'm
so torn on selling stuff. Like, yeah. Of course, the stuff I buy to resell, you know, I have a bookcase like that that is mm-hmm. stuff that I need to get listed. I don't care about any of that. But the stuff that I do care about that I still need to get rid of, I get on these kicks, man. I spent 3 hours on eBay the other night just going through everything, making a list, and I'm like, it's all gone. I'm getting rid of everything. But then yep. I back down.
And you don't list it, right?
No, I back down because I'm like, ah. So here's the deal. I could sell, let's say I sell my sealed GameCube. I mm-hmm. don't care to have that necessarily. Let's say it sells for $700 right now.
Right.
I could wait 5 years. It's not in my way. And maybe it sells for $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, I don't need the $1,000 or the $3,000 right now. So maybe I'll just wait in case I ever need the money.
Right.
And there's another part of me that's like, just get rid of it because it's weighing you down.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, but what would I use that money for? I take something that I do think is special. And I sell it and I get the $1,000 from it. What am I going to spend that on? Is this going to go in the bank and sit there?
Right.
Or am I going to buy something I don't need with it?
Buy something you don't need with it more likely.
Yeah. So I take something I didn't need. I sell it and I buy something I didn't need. What was even the point?
Or if you sell all this stuff and put this in one big account, then you can get the thing you want, like the new truck or the new car.
But then I think about that too. If I sold everything I owned and I bought a car with it, that car is just going to get old and worn out and then eventually be worthless, where those things would have always had value.
Right.
I don't know. That's the fight. Mm-hmm. I love the things. And like cars and stuff like that they don't do that for me.
Yeah.
Like, sure, I'd love to have a new car. For those that don't know, I drive a 2010 that I've had since 2011. And that car is fine for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would I love to go get a brand new car? Absolutely. That'd be awesome. But I don't want one so bad that I'm going to go get in debt for one. Now, when this one breaks down, I'll get a car. Like when this one's done, when it gives up on me, I'll give up on it.
Right.
But not before. And I just don't, you know, I don't know. Things like that don't get me going. I'd rather buy something for $10 than I would for something for $10,000.
I get that.
So I don't know. Something's got to change though. I have too much stuff. And, you know, I used to think I might miss the mark on selling that stuff. Now I've decided that it's always going to be a demand for it and it's always going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all of it, but some of it. There are good times to sell things, but then like Skylanders, right? So I have probably 200 Skylanders all sealed.
Right.
Are those ever going to be worth anything? Are they worth the most that they'll ever be worth now?
You don't know.
I don't know. It's 10 years from now. Someone who was a kid when Skylanders came out going to be like, I'll pay whatever it takes. Or have those, has that ship sailed because they won't have a way to play it? It's not like a traditional game, right? You got to have the portal. You got to have the game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a system to play it on. So the barrier for entry is a little higher if you didn't hold on to those things.
Right now there, I just saw an article. I'm not going to use it as news, but I saw an article. They're talking about Nintendo. There's a rare Nintendo 64 that someone sold for like $64,000.
Mm. Now, just for clarity, if I had something worth 64K, it'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything of value like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, then they're talking about all these old games that in case, like they're still in the wrapper and casing, and they're going for a lot of money. And I was like, damn. And one of those games that I think we've forgot what it was, but it's a game that we all had and we've all opened.
Yeah. Well, that's what gets you. It's not always the rare stuff. Sometimes it's the stuff that was plentiful, but it all got opened.
Yeah. I think it was the gold Nintendo Zelda. Yeah.
I mean, you think about how many people bought something like Super Mario 3. It's pretty tough to find a sealed copy.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone opened and played it and you didn't have the money to buy two.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Skylanders, they take up three shelves on a bookcase.
Ooh.
And they are expertly stacked. You know, where you take one and then you flip the other on upside down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they make the nice rectangle with the cards on the back. So they're all stacked that way. I mean, you couldn't fit a mouse fart in between them.
That's how my Lego dimensions are like that. They're stacked in it. They're inside, just stacked crisscross like a Tetris game.
Yeah, that's how these are. And so even with that, they still take up all that room. And then I also have the store display from GameStop that was acquired by a friend of the show. I won't name any names. But I'm like, I could let the Skylanders display go and all the Skylanders. And maybe, I mean, I look at some lots, they sell pretty high. And I've never seen any of the displays sell.
Yeah.
I'm like, could I get $1,000 for all the Skylander stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Does that even cover what I paid for them? You know, I don't know, because a lot of them I got when they went clearance, but some of those I bought when they were new because I was trying to get them all.
Yeah.
So is it worth it to get my $1,000 back, or do I wait and sell that for $10,000 down the road? Or down the road, do I have to throw that in the trash because no one will pay anything for it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have a lot of my Amiibo stuff is sealed, which I like those. Nintendo properties are a little more special, I think.
Right.
And then the Disney Infinity stuff. You know, is that ever going to be worth anything?
That's, I have the, what was that game that, that's got it. Not a. It was a spaceship game, kind of like No Man's Sky.
Oh, Stark. What's it called?
Not Starfield.
It may not even be Star. I just said that real quick.
It's a
Ubisoft joint.
Yeah. And it had no matter what system you bought on, you get like the different little toys or attachments, little ships. And I clicked them. I just went to
Starlink.
Yeah, Starlink. That's it.
Also the name of Elon Musk's internet.
Yeah, so I went to that bargain hunt, and they still had one of the figures that I bought there a long, long time ago. I bought it for like, I think it was like $2. They had it for $5. And so I have the Starlink game on all, because I bought all three, the PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo.
I guarantee you that has no value right now.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think it ever will be.
See, that's another one. I also don't think it'll ever have any value. I have it on Xbox and I think Switch. I may have it on all of them, too.
And so I was like, man, I kind of just want to like play the game.
Yeah, it's called Starlink Battle for Atlas.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I pulled it back up.
Is that what it's called?
Yep, exactly.
Let's see if anything sells here. Let me switch it to sold. The game sells for shit. There's a few characters. Let me sort this high to low.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I'm also looking on Amazon. It has a bunch of stuff you can still buy.
So one sold for $165. A lot sold for $162. Two of these sold for $130. $100, $88, $85, $90. There is some value. $65. It may be time to unload those if you have them.
Yeah, maybe because I'm...
Unless they're special for you.
They're not.
Yeah.
It was just a game I wanted to play.
It seems like they have a little bit of value still.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me see. Disney Infinity. I'd like to think Disney things will always be collectible, but that feels like a thing that maybe won't be. Let me go to sold here. Did you ever do the Disney Infinity?
No.
Did you do the Skylanders?
No. No, because I knew my collecting aspect of it would go a little nuts. And like I did with the Lego Dimensions. I'm still missing some of the Lego Dimensions, but I haven't gone into like trying to get the missing...
So somebody sold the full set of Power Disc, 147 of them, 2.0 for $700 recently.
For Disney Infinity?
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone else sold a big set of a complete set of them for $500. They're selling this Kingdom Hearts exclusive for $350. They're selling the D23 Sorcerer for $400. The D23 Expo exclusive Power Disc for $320. A lot of characters for $300, $220. These have some value right now too. $247. Mine are all sealed too. These are all open. Let me type in Disney Infinity sealed. Maybe it makes no difference to people. Venom sells for No, not Venom. Sorry. Black Suit Spider-Man sold for $50. $70.
Now, when you did this, you just bought them to collect them. You weren't using them to play.
Well, here's the thing that I did. Some of these Skylanders, I think, are like notorious for this. Amiibos don't work this way. You could play the Skylanders through the package. So if you set the package on the NFC is in the base, and so if you set the package on the portal, it was close enough that you could spawn the character.
Yeah.
Now, later on, they started putting a sticker over the bottom of it so it wouldn't work. But early on, you could do that. I think Disney might have worked the same way, but Amiibos have never worked that way for me. I've always had to open them. Man, the Toys to Life craze was big.
Mm-hmm.
But it fell hard.
Do you think it'll ever come back?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
You know, all things come back, and that's one that it hit so hard when it came. Same thing will happen. It'll come back. Everybody will go bananas, and then it'll be too much.
That's what I say about the sports card trading card thing.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna fall in a couple years, and then it'll be like 15, 20 years later. It'll come back big time.
You know, I think cards are one of those things that my fond memories of those are when I was growing up, because that's when I collected. I don't know that cards have ever been bigger than they are right now.
No.
They are massive right now.
Now, didn't one of the companies just lost the rights?
Yeah, Panini lost the rights, and Fanatic's going to start making it.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. That'll spark the industry again.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's on a downward trend and has been, but there's still cards selling for big money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's people I work with, well, officers, police officers that are into card trading.
Well, I think, you know, breaks have changed the way cards work. The idea that you don't have to go spend $400 on a box and you can spend $20 on a spot. mm-hmm. to get the team that you want has changed the way sports cards work, and people are spending more, and it's gotten a little out of whack with the pricing. And I think there's some breakers trying to bring the pricing back the correct way. But cards are hot.
Oh yeah.
Cards are hot. I guess we should talk about video games.
Oh yeah.
Forgot what we're doing.
All right. So would you play?
I'll go quick because I only played the same stuff. Well, I started a new game, but I don't even remember what it's called. It's on PlayStation, premium or plus or extra or deluxe, or it's on one of those. And, it was all right. It wasn't fantastic. It's a puzzle game. I wasn't in love with it.
Okay.
Speedstorm, Rocket League, and then of course our weekly dose of Dead by Daylight right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the Oculus side, I've just been all in on the Quest. So playing Cornhole VR, I played some darts, playing Pro Era, the first one, the football game. I jumped in Beat Saber a little more. We played Township Tale together. We've just been all over it. Last night we jumped on the PS5, ran like 3 matches of Rocket League, and then went back to VR.
Oh, damn.
Because Rocket League was going shit, and mm-hmm. my headset was dying. So we played Cornhole last night. And I'll tell you, there's something, VR is just kind of like a hang.
Yeah.
You know, I get in there, friend of the show Marshall 205's on there. It's got a thing that lets you play music through YouTube, and it syncs it up.
Mm.
So I can click on like the country station, sync it up, and he's hearing music the same time I am.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like in the backyard, throwing cornhole, music playing, bullshitting, talking to each other. And, you know, you can see his avatar.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he throws a terrible throw, and I turn and look at him, and he shrugs his shoulders. Like, it's just neat to, like, be there. Mm-hmm. Like, he don't even have to say anything, because I'm like, what are you doing? But he knows I'm saying that by looking at him.
Right.
You know, it just feels so natural, even though I'm not looking at him. You know, I'm looking at representation of him. It still feels kind of like you're there, and it's just a hangout. I mean, we're just goofing off.
Now, when you're in there, do you get the crazy hands like we did when we played Star Trek? You remember how the hands were all like wonky?
Not really. That game is maybe a little janky, but that game is pretty solid as far as hand tracking goes.
Mm-hmm.
The new controllers are good. You know, you've got multiple cameras on the front of your headset now. Better looking for those controllers. It's just VR is getting good.
Yeah.
Like, it really feels like this is the next evolution of VR, and it's only going to get better. And I'm excited for you to play the Quest 2, but I think the Quest 3 is excellent.
Good.
Like, I know you don't probably want to spend that much money, but you should buy a Quest 3. And I say that even though I'm trying to get a little money out of you. It's really, really, really good. It really is. And it's... like, the football game is janky. It's the first one. The second one just came out. Yeah. That football game is janky, but it's still fun. When you drop, like, a dime, when you mm-hmm. throw, like, a 40-yard dime to somebody, it feels good. You take the snap, you back up, you got dudes rushing you.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like I'm in the moment, but it's cool. It's a damn cool experience.
That's good. Are you guys enjoying it?
Now, I've played some things, like the Vader Immortal. That feels kind of like you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... because in that world, you know, they do a pretty good job making that seem realistic because you don't really know what it would be like to stand next to Vader.
Right.
So, you know, those situations come off realistic to me. But then you take something like the football, like I'm never like, I'm on the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
But it is cool. It's cool to take that snap and hit that 7-step drop back and fucking throw a slant across the middle. It just feels cool.
Right. Did you figure out how to run yet?
It runs slow. I guess maybe the ads I was seeing were for the second one. It looks like you run a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I did figure out how to run, but he's slow. I think I probably have never picked up more than 2 yards trying to run the ball myself, because the only play on there is like a direct keep for the quarterback, but you're in shotgun.
Oh,
there is no like quarterback sneak.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already 7 yards deep when I get it, and I'm so slow, but I just make it back to the line of scrimmage and get tackled.
Are there run plays that you can hand the ball off to the running back?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm putting it in the Derrick Henry's breadbasket all the time. Dude, mm-hmm. I'll audible out because it's made to throw. That's how the game wants you to play.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll audible out all the time and run it. And you can mess the handoffs up too. You have to time it and you have to put it where it goes. You have to release it at the right time.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I get up to the line, I'll audible, I'll hand it to him. It's janky, right? So he'll run right into a guy when he's got a hole wide open, which I know happens in real life, but it happens way worse in the game.
Right.
I would give that game like a 5 out of 10 for how it works. It's like the design of the way the whole game works, but I would give it like a 9 out of 10 on fun.
Okay.
And for me, that's what VR is about. Like just getting in and having fun.
Right.
And so I'm excited. I think our next multiplayer game is VR.
Right. He said he thinks he's going to have a game for us.
Yeah. It's Demio, which we've already played, but we're terrible out. And I don't think we've ever made it past the second level, but it's designed to play with up to 4 people. And we've only ever played it with 3.
Right.
And it's basically Dungeons and Dragons. Like you have characters and you're moving around the board and you're getting power ups and you kind of have to look out for each other and work together. It'll be fun. I think you'll like it. We've all played it and had fun with it and we're terrible at it. So we've seen almost none of the game, but it'll be fun. Now that you have the Quest 2, I feel like there's a lot of options now because Padman has the PSVR 2 and he says if Steam doesn't announce a VR soon, he's going to get the Quest 3 as well.
So he got a VR 2?
He did get a VR 2. That's what he's playing on.
Mm-hmm. So what we could do is you could just go ahead and sell your Quest 2 to somebody else, get a little bit more money out of it. I'll put the $200 I was going to put in for the Quest, I'll put in on a Quest 3, and then you guys split up the other.
Look, as much as I would like the $200, you should buy a Quest 3.
I know.
I mean, you should. It's not because the Quest 2 is not good. It'll be an upgrade for you because you're coming from the PlayStation VR 1.
Yeah.
But it's not the Quest 3.
Yeah.
And you're going to, but the problem is you're going to spend, you know, almost $600 to get the Quest 3.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. $600 is a lot.
Yeah, and that's the part where
coming from a guy who spends buy a $600 Lego set, but
yeah. I mean, I don't want you to feel obligated to buy it for me. You're not gonna hurt my feelings if you don't. I'd rather you have a Quest 3, but I'll also sell it to you gladly.
Yeah, no, I'm sick with the Quest 2 to see how I.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, it really is. And the Quest 2 is good too, but now that I've had the 3, going back would be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a VR is, you know, I played a lot of VR in my day and then I got out of it and I get back into it and it comes in waves, but it's definitely back hot and heavy right now.
Yeah.
And we're in there for like hours too. Like we get on it sometimes 9 o'clock, we're on VR and we don't get off till after midnight.
Ooh.
Just 3 hours, hot face, sweaty, legs hurting because I've been standing in one place. I don't like to play sitting down. He does. I like to be in it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, he's lazy. He's piece of shit.
Weak hands.
weak legs, too. Can't even prop himself up for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, I would love to have a room one day where I had, like, the treadmill and everything where I could walk, and I would go all in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a believer in the VR. I don't think it'll maybe ever do what they hope it'll do, but I am a believer in it.
Them treadmills are still expensive.
Still expensive. You could get one not made for design for that, but if you want one of the omnidirectional ones, they're expensive or whatever they're called. Maybe that's not the right name for them.
Yeah, they're 12 years. I've seen one for $9.99.
Yeah, that's high. Plus, you need like a dedicated like VR room if you're gonna do that.
Yeah. Damn. $5,000, $1,300. Just a regular treadmill. $3,000
Yeah, I'm interested in it. All right. Anyways, I'm very positive on it. I had fun with everything I played and then the normal stuff. And I am winding down a little bit on Dead by Daylight. I think that I'm glad there's only one more week of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to switch it with 1 week left, but I think 2 weeks might have been a better call for this one.
I don't know. Well, yeah, because the first week we had to play We played once, so we've really already played it four times.
We have, because we played it a Thursday and a Friday.
Yeah.
You could tell a friend of the show, Marshall 205, wasn't even engaged at all this time. He mm-hmm. was on TikTok from the very start of it.
Yeah, he died pretty quick on the one match. And
it sucks when you die quick, because you hang out for 30 minutes while you watch your friend struggle.
Yeah.
And if that's not entertaining, then, you know, you do something else. So I don't, that game's just, it's slow. It's a slower pace. There's no time limit.
Mm-hmm.
That one match, I think it was you and me.
I mean, we played 20 minutes.
We played for, yeah, at least 20 minutes with them dead, and they just had to watch us, and we didn't even accomplish anything, really.
Yeah, we still died.
We still died. I mean, we did accomplish stuff, but we didn't make it out or anything.
Well, I mean, he didn't kill us. We just couldn't get the door open.
We didn't make it out in time, yeah. But yeah. It wasn't, there's no way it was fun to watch.
No.
So, I don't know. I have fun when I'm playing that game, but I feel like it's hard to play something for 4 weeks now that we have started dividing weeks up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody's ADD kicks in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to see it through, but I am ready to move on to something else.
Yep. Next, not this week, but the following week.
Yep. What all did you play this week?
So I played, Dead by Daylight, and then I actually jumped into GTA. Just got the dailies, got the free cars. Got the new car last night. That was for free on the podium.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's the big, huge, weird box with the big truck with the big tires. It's aquatic, so you can drive it in the water, but it's slow.
I like an amphibious vehicle, though.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can show you the...
A little hydration break for everybody while you type.
Yeah.
You still have fun when you get in GTA? Like when you jump in to do those things, is it fun or are you just checking a box?
Well, I'm just checking a box.
You don't. Do you feel obligated to do it?
No, just doing it. Just because if I want to play it. Okay. Oh, there it is. What's it called? This picture's horrible. When I jump in there, I go solo. So I don't have anybody bothering me. Because I've learned that if you want to save your car, you basically have to go outside and go to like one of your other buildings or jump into a match. So it'll save the vehicle you get. Because I've done it once where I won the vehicle, waited a couple seconds and logged out, and then it didn't recognize it.
Well, you have to say, like, where you want it to go, right? What garage? You have to have garage space.
Yeah, even though you put it in the garage, here's the vehicle.
Oh, it's silly looking.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what it looks like when you...
It's silly looking. It's cool, though.
Yeah. So I won that, and then I played a lot of Speedstorm.
And have you changed your opinion on it?
Yes and no.
Because you were kind of like lukewarm last week.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the pay to win. I feel like you have to pay to win in the game. I struggle to even win.
I don't think you have to pay to win. I think you have to pay to
level up.
I don't know the right way to say it, because you can do the daily stuff. You can play regulated and you can play online. Those are all free and those all unlock stuff for the characters to level them up.
Yeah, you just have to grind.
If you'll take whatever character you want and you'll race them online, you unlock things exclusively to upgrade that character.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a grind.
Yeah,
it's still a grind to level up even if you pay. The difference is your new characters when you come out of the Golden Pass are fairly leveled up because... the single player stuff that it gives you in that is designed to level those characters up. One or two of them.
See, the Golden Pass, you only get 400 tokens to start out with. So you don't. Yeah. Then you have to play online to get the tokens, and each match is either 5 or 10 tokens.
Yeah, I don't know how the Golden Pass works because we bought the Founders Edition.
Yeah,
and so they've all been free. I think this is the last free one.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been free to this point. So we didn't have to pay for Stitch. We didn't have to pay for the Toy Story and we didn't have to pay for Aladdin. It just gives it to us. So, you know, the thing is to do the limited time events, if you scroll down to the dailies, those all upgrade whatever characters you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're racing at, who are you racing as?
Pretty much whoever I can get on it, but mainly Jasmine right now. Okay.
So yeah, that one's tough because it's current. So there are no dailies.
Mm-hmm.
But they changed how it works now. You upgrade the lower level characters with all the same thing. It's all shared now. Everybody used to have their own. Every single character had its own low level currency.
Yeah, the glasses or whatever.
Yeah, so like hats, it's gloves. Yeah, now it's like the energy drinks and the gloves and stuff. Mm-hmm. It used to be like all of Toy Story had its own small ones and all of Aladdin had its own. Like everyone had their own. And that was a pain in the ass. It changed when Aladdin came, and now there's plenty of currency to go around if you've been playing any amount of time. The Golden Pass to me is worth it because it adds more single player to the game, but it is just more running the same races over and over. But you unlock it. You have daily challenges that unlock coins, the yellow currency. You have like reward boxes that you get through playing through there. So you unlock more stuff that way too.
I'm level 27.
Yeah, that's overall. Good. I mean, overall, I think my top character is like a 35.
I'm level 27. Jasmine's, I think, 24.
Yeah.
And I have a few others that are in the 10, 12, 15.
The problem is you should have made someone who isn't on the current pass your main, because you can go get their stuff. Like there's a new daily for Mickey and Friends and Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. and stuff like every day.
Right. But I only have 8 characters unlocked, and in order for me to unlock any more characters, I have to pay for them.
You have to get boxes or buy them from the store. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can, again, buy them from the store without spending real money. You can do everything without spending real money.
I can't because I don't have enough of the tokens. You have to pay for the, or you have to basically grind the,
you have to grind the multiplayer. You have to get enough regular coins to buy boxes or to buy the shards when they go on sale.
Yeah. And if you're only getting five tokens per race and you need 1,000.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. Now those, the blue tokens that have like a little, the Speedbucks tokens are hard to come by and they're obviously designed to be able to buy. But the regular currency, like in the Golden Pass, I mean, there's times I have 600,000 coins.
Oh, no, I can get those. I get those. Yeah. I mean,
and you can buy those boxes with those. So you can buy the universal boxes. It's only 500 and it gets you 3 items. And once you get enough shards, you unlock it. I've unlocked all kinds of characters through buying boxes.
Oh, see, no, my universal box, 10,000 coins.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's 10,000. It's 10,000. 500 is the other one. But even then, 10,000 goes a long way when you have 600,000.
So I've never unlocked a person through that. I've only unlocked crew members.
Oh, yeah. You can get people through it.
Right now, I've only done crew members. So I went and got all the other crew members, got them unlocked, anything gold, and I'm just doing the universal box.
And you have to look at regulated multiplayer, too, because it usually highlights a certain character, and you can get them that way, too.
So I just did I got the 5,000, finished that last night, but it was nobody that I had.
Yeah, it just depends on who it is and if they unlock shards and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you go to the character you want and click on get more shards, it shows you all the way to get shards for that character.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
Some of them are easier to get than others, and it changes. Like, I still don't have I need Randall from Monsters, Inc. I'm one token away.
Mm.
I should have unlocked Gaston. He was on one of the dailies, the weeklies, the limited events, and I ranked in the top 25%, which will give me 10 shards for him. So I should have him unlocked.
See, I suck. I think in all those, I'm like the 70%.
Yeah. I'm usually top 50%, and sometimes I break into that top. I just finished one the other day and was top 10%.
Nice.
It happens, but that game it's obviously built to be a free-to-play or free-to-play microtransactions kind of game. And I wouldn't even say they're that micro in that game, but, other than buying the Founders Pack, I've never spent a dollar on it. So you can just grind it out by playing it.
But you also got, like, the Founders Pack, they got 4,000 of them tokens right away.
Oh, but those are all gone, though.
Yeah, those are all gone. So you were able to get a lot
It converted everything over that you had left whenever it went free to play. It converted everything too.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like, don't make sure you spend all your stuff so you don't get converted over when the season's done.
Yeah, I got screwed over because it converted to like junk. Yeah, you have to spend everything. You have to spend everything, really, mm-hmm. except for those speed bucks, the blue ones with the S on them.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of that other stuff because it converts over. Like even the regular coins are like Aladdin money.
Yeah.
Those will convert over. But now they put up the old boxes. I noticed you can buy like Toy Story boxes and stuff now. That didn't used to be there either. It was only the current one.
Mm.
So there was no way I couldn't go buy a Monsters, Inc. box.
Okay. Cause I didn't play it before. So to me,
that's all new. So it used to be, you're talking about it's hard to get a character now. It was impossible before. You had to just hope to get them out of the Universal box.
Mm.
Now you can actually buy from that box and at least pull something from that box.
So I've done the Unracked Mansions. I maxed that out. I only won one match. And pretty much I'm like seventh or eighth.
Yeah.
Sixth. I think I got fifth once or twice.
The regulated's cool because everyone's the same level. So it's truly driver skill.
Oh, yeah. And I suck.
Now, in ranked, it's not the case. You get some people who are just overranked.
Mm-hmm. So I've done a couple ranked matches. Same thing. I'm all the way to the bottom. So I'm only getting like 5 tokens per match.
Now, ranked is what it is. Regulated, though, you should be able to. That's on you.
Yeah.
You got to get better.
Oh, no, I suck. I'm not going to get better. I suck at racing games.
You got to get better.
Not going to. I can try all I want. Just not.
You got to get better. I mean, anytime we're on, jump on and play with us. It lets 3 people be in a party.
Mm-hmm.
I still play it every day.
Yeah, I've been doing the little daily stuff, the daily missions to try to rank up.
Yeah, you got to get that golden pass. Come off that money.
Oh, no. I'm cheap.
It's just money.
Then I do that, and I do all the I'm all caught up on the season missions, too, that for all the players I've unlocked.
Yeah.
There's still a few that I don't have. Like, I don't have Hercules. I don't have somebody else that's on there I need to get. So I can't do theirs because that's a character specific mission.
Yeah, that's unfortunate too. I mean, I have most of the characters, but I grinded it out. I mean, I have probably well over 100 hours in that game.
Ooh.
Maybe not. I'm probably pretty close. Yeah, maybe I'm exaggerating. I probably have 30, 40, you know, I'm well over like 10 hours though.
I'm 7.
Can you see in the app?
Yeah.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm 18 hours.
I probably lied. I probably made it seem like I've just done nothing but play this game. Let me see.
Yeah, 18 hours. GTA 5 says that on PlayStation 5, say I got 74 hours.
Oh, yeah, I've got 72 hours in Speedstorm.
Yeah.
So it is a grind, but you see, I've been grinding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then you got to rise and grind.
Fallout 76 says I have 823 hours in it.
You got a rising grind. It's okay. I have 2,668 in Rocket League.
Jesus.
You got to get out there and get into it.
I'm playing. I'm doing it to give a fair share of which for you guys.
The Gardens Between was the puzzle game I played. That's not doing anything for me. What else did you play?
That's it. Oh no. Animal Crossing with the Halloween stuff.
Same Halloween stuff as before.
Yeah, they've added a couple of new things. You can do like little, you can buy little extra little costumes and stuff like that, but nothing really to me worth it.
Yeah,
but I jumped in just to check it out.
Gotcha. All right. You got any news?
Yeah, I'm cutting it back a little bit. So we're going to talk about Rocket League real quick. Since you did play, did you get the Halloween?
Or is it, yeah, the Jack Skellington stuff.
Yeah, the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff.
Yeah. It's going right now. There's some free stuff you can get, or the pack is $20 if you want everything.
Good way to get people some money.
Or I guess, money laying people off and charging me the same money. I like it.
So I saw on the little thing here, they got the stuff on top, little ornaments.
Some of that. So the one on the right is free through playing the game, that topper there.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything you're seeing there is paid.
Okay. Even the cost, like you have to pay for that decal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Snowman or me Santa Claus.
I don't know if that is paid or not. And then some of the stuff, like the Pumpkin King, everything you see at the bottom right there,
mm-hmm.
those are all free.
Okay.
So you get those through just playing the game.
I might have to load up just to get the free stuff real quick.
But you have to play it. But you could get it pretty quick, I think. Everything up top is paid, though. It's cool. It's $20. Rocket League's DLC since Epic bought them has been outrageous.
Yeah.
It got outrageous before when they stopped doing the loot crates, but it's ridiculous.
They got to make their money back first, paying for it.
It's wild. Those Nightmare Before Christmas wheels look good, though, with the little hill that he goes up on.
Probably drives. I mean, when it's spinning, it probably looks pretty cool, too.
Probably stays still and just the wheel spins.
Sure.
But it's right. Cool.
Next thing, this that X-Sphere, we didn't talk about that at all, but the big sphere that's in Las Vegas now.
The sphere is cool. It looks good as an Xbox logo, too, it turns out.
I'll make sure the volume's off. And then, so Xbox rented or basically paid to have the advertisement for the sphere that's in Las Vegas. And we're watching like a little video that they posted on their Twitter thing.
The sphere is cool as hell. Have you seen it like as a pumpkin and a smiley face and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's yeah. So cool.
And then inside, even the inside, the stuff they can do inside of it. Oh, it's
crazy.
Yeah.
That YouTube show is crazy. I saw a video and it's probably all fabricated, but they said the electric bill on that thing is almost $400,000 a month.
Jesus. And you get some of that Tesla solar panels.
It's made up of round, like disc, like pucks that make that screen up that cover that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. That's a neat idea. It also, you know, it suits their round logo.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they got that Microsoft money.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, next one. I don't think you watched the show, the Peaky Blinders show.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, well, they're bringing the game to VR.
Yeah, this is cool. I might play this. I like that show enough that I might play this. It probably sucks, but.
And it looks like they even have the guy in it.
Yeah.
The main character. I don't know what his name is. I haven't watched it. I know a lot of people like that show.
I forget his name. The guy from Oppenheimer, for those that haven't seen Peaky Blinders.
Yep.
He's really good. That show's really good. You should watch that show.
The next one, Spider-Man 2 dev addresses game costs. Okay, so I wanted to bring this up to you. Not the Spider-Man thing, but sorry, I'm really big on if I spend like $60 on a game, I want at least get like a good amount of hours. And apparently people are complaining because this game is $70 and it only takes like 25 to 30 hours to beat it. And then some people are beating it in like 18 hours. And then compared to other games like Baldur's Gate 3 is 100 hours, Diablo 4 is up to 200 hours. Elden Ring was 80 to 100 hours playing. Does it bother you to pay for a game that is really quick to beat?
So here's what I'll say, and maybe I have a different stance on this. For me, it's less of a value to pay $70 for a game I'll never beat versus $70 for a game that I can go through and see a conclusion of. Now, I do think that there's a sweet spot. I don't want to pay $70 for a two-hour game.
Right.
But $70 for a 20-hour experience is that's what I want. I want to mm-hmm. be able to get something and finish it. I still have Tears of the Kingdom that I haven't even played yet because I'm like, when do I have 70 hours?
Yeah.
So I get less value out of a longer game than I do a shorter game. I'm all about that sweet spot. 10 to 20 hours is absolutely bring it on for me. Well, people are shitting on the new Assassin's Creed because it's shorter. I'm like, all that did was convince me that I might be able to play an Assassin's Creed again.
Right, and not spend 100 hours. Like, I don't mind the 100-hour games. And this one, the 25 to 30 hours, I mean, that's fine.
That's good.
Yeah, now if it was 5 to 10 hours, and then for $70, then yeah, then maybe.
I don't even know if I'd be upset about 10. 5's maybe a little egregious.
Well, I mean, you can beat Miles Morales in 5 hours, but that's if you don't do none of the side stuff. You can just go straight through and do it. But you already have to have all the power-ups.
I don't like longer games. I want games to get shorter and to do what they're doing and don't. Those games might be 100 hours, but the gameplay is truly not 100 hours. Like, I have to wander from place to place or figure out what to do or go get peaches, go get apples, you know, just junk.
Yeah.
Just give me a tight bam, 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 bam. which Spider-Man appears to be.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's some traversal stuff. That's Spider-Man, but no, that game is fine. I'm sure the value's there.
Well, if you just go in there just to try to play the game and beat it instead of enjoying the world that you're in. I mean, because I don't know. When I played Spider-Man, I was trying to glow up on the tallest buildings and diving off. And
sure, you can beat it in 18 hours if you don't give a shit about it.
Yeah.
But if you're having any kind of fun. I saw a video this morning of a guy who was practicing trying to swing through this one specific alley. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's your problem? Like, what do you want? You want a 100-hour Spider-Man game? That sounds absolutely terrible to me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you could play it for 100 hours. That's fine. But to have to play it for 100 hours to see the conclusion of it, no thanks.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, next one. Pete Hines from Bethesda is announcing retirement.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great for them. Good for him.
24 years.
Yeah. I assume that he's done with the way, you know, he's done it for a long time. I'm sure he wants to do something different, but not great for Bethesda. Not great for Xbox.
Yeah, I said. And some of the rumors online saying it's due to Xbox.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't a fan of. I think
it's easy to say that, but, you know, their missteps, you know, a lot of missteps happened way before Microsoft. Pete Hines is a likable, figurehead, though. I like Pete Hines. I wish him the best.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I've enjoyed a lot of the Bethesda games. All right. I brought this up that 10 best-selling video games of all time. And some of them were a little shocking to me. Just outside the top 10 was Terraria, Pokemon Gen 1, and Super Mario Brothers.
Shout out to Terraria.
Yeah.
For hitting 40? The 13th overall spot.
Yeah, so they have number 10, Overwatch at 50 million. 9 is The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt at 50-plus million. Red Dead Redemption 2, 55 million. Elder Scrolls 5, 60 million. Mario Kart 8, 63. Which is weird with the Mario Kart. That's only on one system. I mean,
well, no, not really. It's 8 plus deluxe.
Yeah.
So that's the Wii U and, well, I know it didn't sell shit on the Wii U, but it's the Wii U plus the Switch version.
Right. So, I mean, you basically have two consoles compared to the other ones who are on multiple consoles.
Correct.
Like, well, even like PUBG. Like, PUBG's number 5 with 75 million. It's phone, all your consoles, and your PC. Wii Sports, number 4 at 82.9. GTA 5, what, 185 million.
Which jumping that one, 2 to 3 is substantial.
Yeah. GTA 5, remember, like, friend of the show, Matt, or former host, I mean, he bought multiple copies of it to get the shark hearts.
So, PS5, PS4, PS3, Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC.
Yeah, lots of consoles. And so
initial release was 2013.
10 years is still selling. Number 2 is Minecraft with 300 million, with multiple. And Tetris number 1 at 520 million.
I mean, yeah, sure. You're not going to beat Tetris.
No.
Minecraft still sells today.
Minecraft still has another, 20 years probably to even come close to catch up.
Yeah.
All right. The last thing I wanted to talk about is this game that I saw. It's called Medieval Dynasty. It's a co-op game. I think this might be a game that I might have us play. Me.
Is it 4-player?
4-player. Co-op. Okay.
The character models look a little suspect. So
yeah. It's very... So you're playing in medieval.
Yeah. The wave is weird. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the over-the-top wave.
Yep.
Like a hidey-ho, neighbor.
And he's building his house. And that would be like you. There's all 4 people. And there's their houses they're building. And they're little... And you can help each other.
Does it show any gameplay?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. This is all CG for those that can't see. And it's kind of like a...
Here we go.
It gives me really like early PS4 vibes.
They're exploring a cave.
Throwing rocks.
Throwing snowballs at each other.
Snowballs. This is silly.
Yep. They got axes chopping down trees.
No, yeah. It's kind of got like forest vibes right there.
Mm-hmm. Just surviving in the wilderness. All camping. You can go to towns. because you have missions.
Yeah, I would play it.
Basically, it's like the Force without the baddies.
How much is it?
Let me get out of this.
Oh, so, it's not even out yet.
So on Steam, it's 22. Where was Xbox, PlayStation? So Xbox says it's $37.11, but I saw it on PlayStation. PlayStation has it right now for $34.99.
Ooh, it's high.
Yeah.
It'd be the highest game that anybody's had to buy so far.
And then there's against expansions.
I'm down. I'll play anything.
Yeah. So it's something, maybe. We'll see. But it's a neat little game to go off of some of the games we've already played.
Yeah.
Has that Stranded Deep.
Don't say that.
Look, I love Stranded Deep.
It also says it's one player.
Yeah, but well, because they're adding the co-op part.
Oh, it's not there yet.
Yeah, it's not there. That's coming.
Oh, I got you. Me too. So we'll check that out.
Yeah, Stranded Deep, you can play two-player co-op.
Yeah, I saw that, but that was after I struggled with it.
Yeah, I wish it can get to the four.
Same. And I wish it was better.
Yeah.
It might be fine now. Mine was glitched. And
so yeah, because you could pick up a stick.
Yeah, so it ruined it for me.
Maybe because you uninstalled it, then you reinstalled it, and maybe it'll work now.
Maybe it should be better.
Then you're playing on the 5 now. You would play it on the 5.
Maybe it should be better.
It's so good. I enjoyed it. All right, but that's all I had.
Me too.
Right? We didn't hear Larry, but besides the beginning.
Yeah, he acted right.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that would be a do it for us today. If you'd like to support us, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch. Follow us on our socials at @Game_Stitch, at Hoffman Show. That was episode 561. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.